Hello. I completed all of my quest objectives, but stuff still happened. So what's up? No kings, again, and still, and again. This past weekend saw worldwide protests for the No Kings protests, also known as the No Tyrants protest, if you're in a place that does do kings, if you're in one of those Kingler locations. If you're feeling like this is deja vu, it's because this is not the first No Kings protest, and this one was bigger than the last one. The last No Kings protest saw about 5 million people take to the streets in the US. This one saw estimates say about 7 million. That doesn't include counts from worldwide protests of people going through the streets in other countries to be like, hey, the Trump administration fucking sucks. There wasn't really much violence to speak of. These were pretty tame marches. It was a lot of people who were just disgruntled voters going out and marching. It's about as basic as an American protest can get. That doesn't mean it's meritless or useless, just basic. I only mention that because Republicans are trying to paint it as a hate America rally and tried to say that the people who are going are like dark money funded Antifa warriors. Meanwhile, if you look at like any picture of the crowd, it's just a bunch of like old white people holding signs about like brunch and stuff. Like, yeah, they're libs, but like that's not violent Antifa warriors. Like me, I am a violent Antifa warrior. Hear my battle cry. It is also notable that the current sitting president of the United States, a person who is in charge of a country, posted a handful of AI videos in response to the protests. One of which is a video of him with a king's crown on his head, flying a fighter jet over protesters and then opening up a hatch to drop what appears to be a bunch of diarrhea all over the protesters. That is a choice, my guy. We're waiting for more details, but if these numbers hold, this would be the biggest one-day US protest since like 1970. And the third largest of all US history. Now, I know there's a lot of people who naysay demonstrations like this. They're saying that it's useless, it doesn't do anything. Where has this gotten us? I get your frustration, but to look at the mobilization of 7 million people and to say that that's meaningless is just absurd. Just because this is not a group of people who are now ready to start the revolution, it doesn't mean it's not valuable. People are radicalized at varying paces, and you can either help chip in with that, or you can complain about it. I would prefer that you help chip in, because liberals marching and waving signs because they are disgruntled with the current situation is better than complete apathy, which led to us having this administration. Is it gonna fix our situation? No. No one said it would, and no one said they were trying to do that. Nowhere ever was this protest supposed to fix everything. It's a demonstration, it's a show of solidarity, it's a pep rally. You gotta have those because you have to show people how many of us are feeling the same way right now. Anyway, stateside, there was a little bit of international there, that's why it counts. We are on day 20 of the US government being shut down. I had churros last night to celebrate. Not really celebrating, I just got churros because I like them. It's day 20 of the shutdown, Congress is in gridlock, nothing seems to be moving. This is probably going to become the next longest shutdown of all time. It's currently in third place for longest shutdown of all time, first place being held by Trump's first term. Essentially, Democrats and Republicans in Congress are not voting for passing a bill to keep the government funded, which is leaving them in deadlock. It's dumb. I would say it's dumb. I think that's how I would describe it. We're getting closer and closer to the point where a government shutdown actually becomes dangerous for the government, which is to say, when people start getting hungry. It's real easy to ignore a government shutdown and all political discussion when you're not hungry. So as this continues to drag on, we will eventually see military and federal families missing paydays. We'll see a strain on food banks, and we'll see food assistance dwindle and eventually snuff out. To try to push out how long it is before people start to really get hungry, Trump has signed a thing to make it so that the DOD is going to move funds around to pay the military, but that's only going to last like a month, and they're probably still going to miss their first payday. So beyond that, we just don't know. It's just going to keep getting wackier. I do want to share how this has personally affected me. Please understand that this makes me feel very vulnerable, but I was recently going for a hike this past weekend, and at the nature center, the latrine was closed due to the government shutdown. And so I had to become one with nature. Speaking of shit, let's talk about text messages between a bunch of Republicans. Politico recently published a report that revealed a bunch of text messages from a Telegram channel between a bunch of young Republicans, people who are like capital Y, capital R, young Republicans. So this is where it gets messy, and this is where the narrative starts to get real fucked up. So let's be real clear. Young Republican here definitionally means 18 to 40. The term Young Republicans here is specifically referring to a national organization of Young Republicans, and that's the name of it. They mean young as in first half of life, not teenagers. So what this was a big trove of texts that had the exact awful shit you would expect. I'm not going to quote it. I'm not going to show it. It's just racism, sexism, death, murder, killing jokes, rape jokes, all of the things. Essentially the exact kind of humor that you would expect from a 15-year-old boy. And so when it says young Republicans have text messages that have rape jokes in them, it's like, yeah, duh. Only the yeah, duh was actually referring to a 35-year-old in one case, and someone who's currently in this U.S. administration. And I mean it, like the text, like they said things like, I love Hitler, and the things you're not supposed to say, you know? The things that they always want to say, but can't. That's kind of something they would say in a hidden Telegram channel while turning around and yelling at anyone who would insinuate that they're racist. It's so fucking transparent. So this was enough that the actual organization, the National Young Republicans folks, They called on these people to step down because they were in like positions of leadership within the organization. It's almost like modern young conservatism preys on young boys and their feeling of being left behind by society for the very real sense of isolation that they're feeling and the lost and stolen future that truly has happened to them. It's almost like there's a bunch of people out here who feel hopeless and left behind. And the only ones they have to turn to are the worst among us. Among us. Exactly. Our system uplifts the most selfish, horrible people to the highest echelons, places that were only ever reserved for gods. And so in lieu of a responsible masculine figure, we have Donald Trump as our president, posting AI videos of him literally shitting on his citizens because that's what he thinks communication should be. Am I offended by that video? Not even remotely. Don't give a shit. Am I upset about the fact that the leader of a country that holds me at gunpoint to pay them taxes is doing that in response to the citizens? Yeah, I feel like that's not a good use of the leadership position, you know? Anyway, I don't remember what I was saying, but racists. So J.D. Vance decided to defend the racists essentially by saying, oh, well, you know, that's just how kids talk. 18 to 40. So he was trying to do the line of like, oh, it's young Republicans. It's just some teenagers. It's just locker room talk, whatever. That's just how kids are. And honestly, he's not wrong. That is how kids are. And he stopped short of saying, and that's a huge problem for our culture. And we must address it because the normalization of dehumanizing our fellow man is antithetical to the American project. He could have said that, but he didn't. He didn't say that. Instead, he said, talking about gassing Jews is just how kids are. Over in Alaska, there has been some terrible wreckage from a typhoon that hit on October 12th. Remnants of a typhoon hit southwestern Alaska, annihilating villages, primarily those of indigenous people. Folks who have had generations in their towns that don't exist anymore. Floods rolled in and shattered records of flooding by a long shot. Houses were taken off their foundation and were floating far enough to be crashing into each other. Here's an excerpt from alaskapublic.org with a person describing what it was like on the ground. Quote, Carl said that houses were pushed off their foundations and scattered across Kipna. He was in a house with 14 family members during the storm, six of them children, when the four-bedroom house started drifting around 2 a.m. At one point, he yelled to his family to brace when it looked like they were going to strike another house. He estimates his home traveled half a mile before it came to rest. End quote. There's been a flurry of rescue efforts and the National Guard has been deployed. The head of Alaska's National Guard said that this might be the biggest off-road network operation in 45 years for the National Guard. And unfortunately, officials are assessing the damage and predict that it's so severe, it might be more than a year and a half before people can return to their homes. Homes which mostly are gone now. But again, these are largely indigenous towns and the folks living there have a deep connection to that land. It's their life, it's their livelihood. Even in the face of absolute destruction and disaster, while there were evacuation efforts going on, the people of this town were hesitant to leave. It's all they know, it's all they want. It's just to be home. And I cannot blame them for that. If you want to donate, I've included links in the description of this episode. Elsewhere, there was a the ceasefire that Israel and Hamas have mostly agreed to that the US was fostering has all but fallen apart already. I almost had enough time to write a draft before it fell apart. Essentially, since the start of the ceasefire, Israel has still been killing and bombing people in Gaza and has been escalating it over time. Recently, they did a bunch of airstrikes in the region of Rafah because they claimed that Hamas was shooting at Israeli soldiers there. Hamas says that they can't even get to that region right now. Israel is pointing to the violence at the hands of anti-Hamas militias fighting against Hamas. Civilians and journalists have been getting killed as these militias are roaming around. Israel has already tried pausing aid distribution and claims they're going to get right back to it soon. It's hard to believe their claims, because they also said that every single hospital and school and faith center in Gaza was secretly a Hamas operation. Oh, you know what? Throw refugee camps in there too. There is not one intact hospital in Gaza. They have all been destroyed or damaged by Israeli strikes. And I wish it wasn't this overtly evil, but we have confirmation from Israeli media that Israel has been arming the militias that they're saying are going against Hamas and causing a bunch of violence in the area. Netanyahu himself and his cabinet secretly approved the distribution of weapons to militias to send into Gaza that they then used as an excuse to continue attacking Gaza. I don't think any reasonable person really expected this to be a ceasefire that actually held. I had some hope purely because I've seen so much and I just want it to end. I do not like the terms of this ceasefire, and I never really thought it was gonna hold. I didn't think it was a good one. I really wish the killing would end. Speaking of killing, Russia and Ukraine, fuck. Let's go through this quick. Russia and Ukraine, it's still going on. It's still ramping up. Russia has been amping up their drone strikes and missile strikes on cities in Ukraine. And in response, Ukraine has been striking deeper and deeper into Russia's mainland. There are reports that Ukraine has hit enough oil refineries in Russia to have reduced their oil refinery capacity by like 20%. Zelensky went to Trump to ask for Tomahawk missiles, which if given them, that would severely change the balance of power. And Trump thought about it and then said no, and then also said, stop fighting and just use the current battle lines as the map, which is what Putin wants to do. What a surprise. But anyway, France is having a time of it. It's been like a year and a half of just absolute chaos in the French government. Last summer, the far right in France won a bunch of seats in parliament, more than people had expected. And in response to that, the current president of France, Macron, he was like, let's try that again. And he called a snap election. Essentially, that was just like, hey, let's do a do-over. And the far right got more seats from the do-over. Since then, Macron's been doing everything he can to try to keep the government from just falling apart, but there's not enough people in any group to form a coalition that lasts. And so there's just been like a rotating door of prime ministers. And recently, another one came and went. There's been protest after protest after protest, mass mobilizations, just shutting France down. This is what happens when you have strong labor force, by the way. These were like union-planned protests. Join the union. There were also just like civilian protests. Like there was really impressive other protests going on beyond just the organized union ones. But still, the people in France are protesting government cuts and an increase in the retirement age, shit like that. They're basically saying like, hey, why is our life getting materially worse under your leadership? Huh? Side note, here's a really good idea. Leadership of a country that improves things. I got a million of these. Anyway, yeah, it's just kind of a mess in France. There's just protest after protest after protest, prime minister after prime minister after prime minister. And the far right coalition's leader was found guilty of embezzlement and isn't allowed to run for office for 5 years. So they're really having a time of it. That's all I can really say. Technology, bad technology. Let's talk about Sora. OpenAI recently launched an app called Sora, and you probably have already heard about it, but it is an AI TikTok app. Essentially, it is a endless scrolling feed of AI-generated videos, and all that you do is generate AI-generated videos and then put them into a feed. So it's a feed of literally just slop. And so in classic OpenAI fashion, they didn't know, or more likely didn't care, what was going to happen when this app hit the general public. And it did, and wouldn't you know it, copyright infringement. Abuse. You can fucking generate video of other people. Some people with busted brains can opt in to being put into these videos. Sam Altman himself is one of these opt-ins, and people have already generated CCTV footage of him shoplifting. Like, it's so blatantly stupid! Now, OpenAI probably thinks they can get away with basically anything forever, and they might be right, but this move pissed off content lawyers from Hollywood to Japan. Hollywood's like, hey, why are you able to generate footage of our copyrighted material? In Japan, they're like, why the fuck can people generate, like, entire anime sequences from our material? Like, this is our cultural export. You're trying to claim that you have divine right to train some kind of exploitation machine with it? And so it didn't take long to get stuff like SpongeBob in a Nazi costume and shit like that. And OpenAI was like, oh, whoa, whoops. Their original plan to handle copyright was opt out. If you have a copyright on something and someone somewhere made a video, you can apply to opt out of having that content be usable. It's insane. This is where we are. And this is why I'm basically always saying, stop showing abject deference to tech bros. This is dumb. We don't need to live like this. Copyright law is a mess, and intellectual property, it's important in some ways and abused in many ways. But I'm always here if somebody wants to sue Sam Altman. Let's talk about depression. I have it. Scientists at McGill University have isolated brain cells that they believe are affected by people with depression. We've known for a long time that depression is physiological. Depression's not just you're sad a lot. Depression's your body doesn't have the right chemical balance to make it so that your brain doesn't want to just end. Trust me, I didn't want to have it like that. I didn't mean to. Anyway, we've known that it's physiological in nature, but we don't have a lot of insight into the specifics of what brain cells are doing what differently with people with depression versus people without. So these science boys took 100 cadavers. Science boys do the coolest things. Anyway, the science boys took 100 cadavers and looked at their brains. About 40 of them did not have depression, and 60 of them did. They were able to isolate two different types of cells that had notable difference that were consistent between the cadavers. I'm not going to pronounce them, because I don't want to sound dumb, and I didn't look it up. But what does this actually mean? Unfortunately, it doesn't mean a ton, but it does mean that we're making progress. We don't know what we don't know. Correlation is not causation. So they can't just say, well, we now know how depression happens because of these two brain cell types. You know, next steps would look like figuring out if there's a before and after death difference with these brain cells and learning more about if this is a result of depression or a cause of depression. But it's movement in a direction of potentially having a better understanding of mental illness and more ways to counteract it so that hopefully someday I'll be able to stop taking the pills that make me not want to go dark. Lightning round. There was a guy who worked in the U.S. Department of Energy, and he recently lost his security clearance after his computer tried to upload about 200,000 images of porn to a backup over the government network. It was reportedly his lifelong collection. For the first time in 20 years, the U.S. passport has slipped out of the world's top 10 most valuable passports. We were number one a decade ago. I wonder what happened over the past decade. OpenAI, again showing their excellent judgment, announced that they will soon be allowing ChatGPT to again act like your friend, boyfriend, therapist, stuff like that, including sexting. This is a great idea and very good. And finally for today, a guy in Indiana found a 4,270-year-old human skull. Like, yeah, we knew people were there then, but that's an old skull. Like, very old. I wonder whose it was. It wasn't mine. I don't think. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a map to where I hid the other 4,270-year-old skull. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.